Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again on this wintry, not really, Thursday morning is J-Dub of Dubsism. Welcome back from the cold of Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I don't live in Minnesota anymore, but it's a callback, I know, but I was, depending on when this actually, airs, we had a huge snowstorm here in the Midwest like 2 days ago, and, there's still penguins and Eskimos in my yard, so the snowy thing is what kicked me off there.
Okay, well, as long as you have some nice guests, that's what's important. Eskimos and penguins, why not?
All right, well, tigers and bears, oh my.
Exactly. So, minute 24 begins with Neil getting very annoyed and jumping out of bed, and ends with Del retorting in the midst of this argument that the two of them seem to be having. We'll have to wait and find out what exactly what that is. So, yesterday, we ended off with Del continuing to clear his sinuses, clear his throat, doing anything possible to be as lovably annoying as possible. I think it's probably the best way to describe it. Yeah.
Okay.
And Neil just hits the end of his fuse and jumps out of bed. And we continue this today's minute exactly at that point where Neil just jumps out of bed and screams, "God damn it, that's it." And he obviously turns on the light as he's saying this, and then Dale goes, "What? What?" Which is pretty funny that he doesn't really know what's the problem. He goes, "If I don't clear my sinuses, I'll snore all night." Basically, the two of them, what they do here is it's great because we can see the way the two of them are just their expressions on their faces. Neil is just so frustrated about everything that's going on. He jumps up and takes his shirt off of the hanger and shakes it off in order to maybe get out some wrinkles. I don't know. And then he is starting to put it on. And then Del looks at him and goes, "Gee, if your kid spills his milk, what do? Slap him in the head?" And then Neil turns to him and goes, What is that supposed to mean?" He goes, "You're not a very tolerant person." Now, it's nice the fact that Neil is still continuing to get dressed as they're having this conversation. We see him put his pants on one leg at a time. He's putting his shirt on. He's really had enough, and he's getting ready to get out of there. And then he responds to Del by saying, "Look, you've been under my skin since New York, starting with ripping off my cab." Once again, he's mentioning that whole cab aspect. And he goes, "God, you're a tight ass." And he goes, "How would you like a mouthful of teeth? And hostile too. Nice personality combination. Hostile and intolerant. That's borderline criminal." And then we see Neil then takes off his jacket. And Del finally gets up from the bed. The whole time he's been sitting on the bed, we still have the whole idea of that their bed is filled with spilled beer and pizza, according to the script, because at this point he says, "You spilled beer all over the bed, you smoke, you mess up the bathroom." And then Del's response is, "Well, who let you stay in this room? I even let you pay for it, so you wouldn't feel like an intruder, which you certainly are." So, this conversation is definitely escalating as the two of them are dealing with this. And they do an amazing job in this particular scene, showing the same situation from two people's perspectives, which are completely different.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The two of them have gone through the exact same day from opposite ends, and they both are looking at it. And I guess you can say it shows the difference between someone who's more of a pessimist and someone who's more of an optimist.
Like I said earlier, Neil is a first-class guy and Del is a coach guy.
Yeah, but the two of them are looking at the exact same situation, which is great the way that they're able to show this to us. That one of them gets very annoyed by everything that's happening and the other one, okay, this is what's happening. this is how you deal with it. Dell is a guy who deals with the situation as it comes up. And Neil is the type of guy who is used to planning everything so far ahead that when he needs to do something spontaneous, he doesn't really know how to deal with it.
No, that's true.
I found that really interesting, the way that they do this. Now, at this point, then, this is the first time that Dell actually says something that's not necessarily nice by saying, that you are most certainly an intruder here. Now, as we know, Dell invited him to come with him.
That's true.
So it's not as if Neil has overstepped his welcome in this particular situation. Obviously, you look at both, you can see this situation from both sides. No one here is clearly wrong and no one here is clearly right. The idea is that neither one of them is taking the other person into consideration. There's a lack of consideration here.
Well, there's that, and there's also with Neil, it's very easy, when I talked earlier about the slow burn, you can see him getting annoyed and he's working up to losing his temper. And now it finally happens. And when he blows on Dell, now you see Dell, you see his facial expression change. And you can tell he's getting irritated too, but he's not, his boil isn't as high as Neil's yet.
Right.
But he's starting to get there.
Right.
That's when he brings up the intruder thing, which, right, wrong, and different. That's not the kind of thing he's been saying up to this point.
Correct. Because again, he has dragged him along with him. He's wanting to help him. Dell is the one who was sticking around throughout the entire, in the airport. He was watching and waiting to help him out and stuff like that. This isn't someone who's considered to be an intruder, which is very weird, that he would say that he's intruding on him. So, Neil at this point rightfully says, "I'm an intruder." And the response is, "Yes, you're an intruder. I was having a perfectly nice trip until you walked into my life." And he says, "I walked into your life? Who was it that was tucking my ear off on the plane? Who was that? I'm curious." And at this point, he basically says, Dell's response is, "Well, who told you to book a room?" "I did, out of the goodness of my dumb old heart." "Boy, you're an ungrateful jackass. Well, go ahead. Sleep in the lobby. See if I care." So, first of all, he says, "Who's the one who told you to book a room?" I mean, he didn't book a room. He told him earlier to try and book a room before he called his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But, at this point, that's a moot point already. Dell has taken him under his wing and says, "Hey, I'm good friends with Gus. Gus is going to give you a place to stay. So come with me. I'll help you. Just, you pay the taxi fare with Doobie, and you in the end, you pay for the motel room." So,
right.
I have a little bit of a problem completely siding with Dell in this point. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I think both of them are most inconsiderate of the other person, which can be understandable because they don't know each other.
Well, that's true.
If you're staying somewhere with someone so it's much easier to come to a compromise than someone who you don't know and don't want to have to deal with and stuff like that. And the fact that Dell actually calls him an ungrateful jackass, so that still shows that as pissed off as Dell is getting, he's still not using excessive language here. He's trying to keep his language. It shows a lot about his personality that he's not someone who's going to be cursing the whole time. He's using moderate. He's calling him moderate swear words, I guess you can say.
A jackass.
Yeah.
He didn't call him a jerk or anything like that.
Exactly. Correct. Which it could have come out very simply from someone who normally would use that type of language, right?
Somebody like me, perhaps.
Perhaps. So, and then the fact that Dell says to him, "Go sleep in the lobby. So where does that even come from? How does he know that's what Neil's plan is? He doesn't say, "I'm going to go sleep in the lobby." He just gets up and starts getting dressed. I mean, maybe he's going to say, "I'm going to take a cab and go back to the airport," or "I'm going to, I'm going to do something else." What's the, why is there the assumption that he's going to go sleep in the lobby?
Well, that was I was just going to ask you. What are Neil's alternatives at that moment?
Well, I just gave it to you.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, but the whole problem is they can't get a flight anywhere. So what good is going back to the airport doing?
Well, I think their plan was to go back to the airport in the morning. I mean, if your flight gets canceled, they're going to reschedule it once everything is. I mean, the airline is responsible to make sure to get you back to, you know, they're going to have to get them to Chicago.
So, in other words, Neil would rather go sleep in a plastic chair at the airport than anywhere near Delta.
Or sleep on the floor, like we saw someone else doing in 2 weeks ago. There was some guy, some businessman sleeping on the floor, which is what convinced him that he'd better go with Delta instead. I don't know. I mean, obviously, as we see through the course of this movie, they find other ways of trying to get back to where they need to go. They don't go back to the airport, which is pretty silly from that perspective, because they probably should have. That would have solved a lot of problems if they would just come back to the airport first thing in the morning.
I don't think thinking clearly is on either of their minds at this point, though.
Yeah, probably not. Right. So basically, that's this whole minute. This whole minute is this conversation between the two of them. They're starting off their argument between the two of them, and you see the tension rising between the two of them. So before we get to the script and other things, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Well, the whole explosion, just as I watch that, I keep getting drawn to a movie that comes out later, and I just see Steve Martin slowly turning into Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. Because, I mean, he really looks like he's about ready to break into, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. You know, I mean, he has the same burn as, you know, as Tom Cruise is goading him into it. Dell is goading Neil. And then boom, the blow up happens. And, you know, it was too much of a back and forth to really make it a perfect comparison. But you watch that Neil is probably, how do I put this, in that scene in A Few Good Men, you can tell that Jack Nicholson is venting years of frustration at Tom Cruise,
yes,
for whatever has gone on in his life as a Marine. And Neil, I think there's a lot of Neil venting on Dell everything that's happening in his life at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, go back to the thing about we talked about earlier with his wife, Susan. I'm making a big leap of faith here, but it looks to me like, in things that we don't know about, like maybe Susan and Neil were fighting when he left to go on this business trip.
Okay, that's pretty amazing, because the script has this whole subplot of them being in a fight the entire time. Every time they talk on the phone, she hangs up on him in the end. She thinks that he's lying. She complains about the fact that he had to go on a business trip right before Thanksgiving. So you definitely hit the nail on the head on that one. You're able to pick that up, and it's not even there. They completely cut it out.
Well, it's kind of there. I mean, you're married, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'm married too. Have you ever, like, the scene where, like, we talked about earlier, where he's in trouble because he called her and woke her up, even though she told him to call her. Have you ever gotten in trouble for doing exactly what you were told?
That's what being married is.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes.
We're all in the same boat.
And that boat is the Titanic.
True. but we still enjoy being on the Titanic. That's the issue. Because otherwise we would have jumped off.
Yeah. The Titanic, the band keeps playing.
Definitely. All right. So the script itself does have a lot of discrepancies in this particular minute. So the way that the conversation between the two of them begins was, Neil says, I was on my way home to spend a nice holiday with my family, and instead I'm in a motel bed with a stranger 500 miles from my house, and I don't know how or when I'll get there. I'm a patient man. I'm paying for the rooms. I paid for the cab. And then Dell jumps up and says, oh, you also paid for the pizza. Okay. So one of the things that we mentioned last week about the whole thing with the pizza is that Dell couldn't find his own wallet and took money out of Neil's wallet to pay for the pizza. So Neil then says to him, I did? And he says, all I had was 100. The kid didn't have any change. You went in my wallet? And he says, are you mad? You have no right to go into my wallet. What was I supposed to do? I had to pay for the pizza. You were showering. Did you want me to send some punk kid in to look at you naked in the shower? And he says, you stay out of my stuff. I'm not interested in your stuff. Good. In fact, I'm bored with your stuff. What? You looked? I didn't look. Then why are you bored with it? And then it says, lying. It's a figure of speech. He goes, bull, you went through my bags. And Dell says, how did I know you weren't some kind of shady guy? I'm not sleeping with a stranger without knowing a little about him. What if you had a gun in your bag? I've been on the road too long to not know to take a precaution or two. Did I go through your stuff? And then he says, I don't know. Did you? And he says, no, I did not. And I'm mad as hell that you went through mine. He says, ah, what's the big deal? You got two suits, two dirty shirts, some stale shorts, and some skin magazines. And then it says, Neil is quite embarrassed. And he says, don't sweat it, Neil. There's a reason every hotel newsstand sells these kind of magazines. There isn't a married man alive that hasn't. And that's how the conversation ends. So it's pretty, I mean, first of all, I'm glad they cut this out because I don't think it's really needed. It puts Neil in a completely different light by saying that he has all these magazines in his bag, which doesn't really, maybe it works with the fact of what we were talking before about that he's in a very long drawn out fight with his wife. Maybe, I don't know. We're not going to go there, but it still sounds to be something that they didn't really need to bring up. And then Neil grabs his shirt and Dell says, where are you going? And he goes, I'm sleeping in the lobby. Oh, come on. You don't have to do that. He pulls back the covers and slides his legs over the side. And then he says, if your kid sh**s his trousers, do you smack him? And then Neil goes, what the hell are you talking about? He says, you're not a very tolerant person. Neil says, I am a very tolerant person. Oh, really? He says, look, you've been under my skin since New York. You ripped off my cab. I know all this. You paid for the room, the pizza. You're a tight ass. How'd you like a mouthful of teeth? You're hostile, too. Nice personality conversation. Hostile and intolerant. That's borderline criminal. Screw you. You spill beer all over the bed. You smoke. You make a mess of the bathroom. And I let you stay in my room. I let you pay for it so that you wouldn't feel like you're an intruder, which you most certainly are. I'm an intruder? You're an intruder. I was having a nice trip until you walked into my life. I walked into your life? Who talked my ear off on the plane? And then they talk about the booking the room and stuff like that. So it's what's interesting is when you read the full script, you see how they edited this so well that parts of the conversation still stay there and parts are cut out. Mm-hmm. But it's still – the conversation still sounds really good the way that they have it. It flows.
Yeah, absolutely. And the part about how would you like a mouthful of teeth, I was waiting for you to tell me in the part of the script that didn't make it that's where Neil just hauls off and belts.
Yeah, no. You know? I'm glad they didn't do that either.
No, that's totally neither of their characters to start throwing punches.
That's definitely –
it's not like there are two football players that you locked in the room together.
Yeah. All right. So on every episode, we have our segment Off the Beaten Track, where myself or my guest gives a little adventure or misadventure that one of us had at some point in our lives. So J-Dub, why don't you tell us another little adventure or misadventure that you have had?
Oh, this is another one that, you know, involves the state of Wisconsin. Being from Michigan, I know you're familiar with Wisconsin. The full story I was doing a video podcast a while back and I told this story, and it's all about a summertime trip about Wisconsin, a car breakdown, your entire plan for your trip changes just like in this movie, except instead of it being Neil and Dell in a hotel room, it's my wife and I in a car rolling down the interstate across Wisconsin. Car dies. D-E-D, dead, dies. And this is July 4th traffic, I'm trying to get across two lanes, three lanes of traffic to the breakdown lane. and the engine is clearly not running. And my wife looks at me and says, "Why are you stopping here?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm not trying to." At this moment, she realizes that I'm about to have the Neil explosion because, like I said, this is July 4th weekend. I drive a car that I'm pretty sure they don't have parts for in small town Wisconsin. Call AAA. The tow truck comes, takes me to this repair shop in Edgerton, Wisconsin. And there's a 60-year-old guy there named Scotty. And more importantly, roll in, he's got the exact same car as mine up on the lift. And he comes out and he looks at my car. He's like, "Well, that's the second one of those cars I've seen today." And I'm thinking, yeah, no shit. I can see the other one there. But I don't want to be rude to this guy because this guy has my vacation in the palm of his hand at that moment. And then lo and behold, he's putting in a fuel pump in that car, which is the exact part my car needs. He calls the guy who owns the first car and says, "Hey, I got a guy here that needs a fuel pump. Can I give him yours? And I'll get another one from Madison for you after the weekend." And he's like, "Sure. Yeah, give that guy the fuel pump. He's on his vacation. I don't need that car back until Tuesday anyway." But the best part is the guy that he calls stops in the middle of his day because he thinks Scotty's screwing with him. He thinks there's no way there's two of that car in this town on the same day. He comes down to the garage to say, "Oh, yeah, I thought you were jerking me around. Yeah, you do have another one of those cars." So, and there's a whole other thing to that story. If you want, I can send you the link to the video cast that tells the whole story.
That's a great story.
But that, long story short, yes, that's how my wife fell in love with Edgerton, Wisconsin.
So. Cool. Why don't you tell people once again how they can get in touch with you?
D-U-B-S-I-S-M, dubsism.com, the most interesting independent sports blog on the web. dubsism@yahoo.com is the email. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Carrier Pigeon, you name it, Dubsism, D-U-B-S-I-S-M. It's a first page search result on Google, so look us up.
All right, well, while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, subscribe on any podcast you might be using, and to find me, just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can do it on Facebook, on Twitter, or go to our website. So, until tomorrow, you're
we're all